Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everyone.
Oh, hey.
It's us again.
Surprise.
We're not here. We're like here, but not here.
We're in space, like in your ears.
Yeah.
But we're on a break.
Yes. So we hope you had a decent Thanksgiving, whatever that means to you.
Mm-hmm. And now we've got another replay treat for you.
We do.
Possibly one of the funniest recording experiences we've ever had.
Oh, my God. So funny.
Because
also one of our last IRL recording experiences.
Yes, like as the pandemic was slowly creeping in, we still were like, is this going to happen here?
Yeah.
So we got to interview earlier this year comedian Naomi Akparagan, who is truly one of the funniest humans on the planet.
She's so funny.
And her interview was a blast. It's so hilarious. And if you are not following her on Instagram, where she is just like dealing with pandemic realness every day, you've got to get on that follow.
Yes, get on it. All right.
But first, give it a listen here.
Okay, here we go.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And I have to turn off the space heater.
Okay.
We're in my garage.
We are. It was a little chilly. And Kate said, Dori, would you like me to turn on the space heater? And I said, yes.
And then Dori said, can I borrow a sweatshirt? And I said, yes.
That's just the kind of friendly and accommodating co-host that we are.
That's what this work from home life is like. Two people who can't handle 60 degree temperatures.
How's it going?
Well, we need to just do our biz.
Oh, yeah, our biz.
We got to biz it up.
I forgot about the biz.
Biz up top.
Let's do the biz up top.
Biz up top. Number one, we have a voicemail, 781-591-0390. We love to hear from you.
We do. We truly do.
Same with email, which is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And we have a Facebook group that is still very active 2 years in, facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. The answer to the question that you will be asked upon attempting to join the group is serums.
That's right, because we talk about them on this show. Mm-hmm. If you like the show, please do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, tell a friend, or mention us on social media.
And a reminder that all the products we mention are always on our website, forever35podcast.com. We also have merch at forever35merch.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod.
And you can listen to G-Thanks to Spot It, our first ever Forever 35 produced pod.
Yeah. Wherever you get your podcast.
Wherever you pod.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of pods, mm-hmm. I've got a new thing.
Okay.
I'm ticking and I'm talking, Dori.
Mm-hmm.
I am tick-talking all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I'm addicted to TikTok.
TikTok's great. I mean, I've told you that, like, I'll just be, like, sitting there TikToking, and Matt will come in and will be like, what are you doing? And I'll be like, TikToking? And he's like, what? Like, he's like, isn't this for teens?
And you're like, yes. And I'm young at heart.
Or I'm just like a creepy old lady.
There are older people on TikTok as well.
There are. Someone came up in my, what's it called? The For You page.
Oh, yes.
Some like grandpa.
And the grandma?
No. Oh. Some guy named like Old Man Sam,
I saw like dancing grandparents.
I saw him. He was doing a cooking show and he was showing everyone how to make biscuits.
Oh.
From a package.
That sounds cute.
It was cute.
And you watched it.
I did watch it.
I have, I would say, in the last couple of weeks, like gone full TikTok.
Uh-huh.
I've gotten very into it. If you are curious about the app or like the culture and the influencers, I really recommend the Be There in 5 podcast episode about TikTok. Also, great pod. I love Be There in 5.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, who's the host, does like just really great, thorough deep dives on topics that I am curious about. And one thing I'm curious about are the teen influencers of TikTok. And now I follow them all and I'm practicing their dances secretly in my bathroom. And I feel like I'm going to make my first dance video.
I'm here for this.
And I might make a Forever 35 podcast TikTok.
Okay. Okay.
Which I did ask you, would you dance on it? Would you learn a dance and do it with me?
Maybe.
Okay. Like one of the easier dances.
Yeah, maybe.
Because this is what, if anyone's like, what the F is TikTok? It's a video app / social media app that makes it very easy to like thread. Everybody's doing the same thing. Like it's you can see these dance trends pick up, and dance is a big part of TikTok. And a lot of the teen influencers that I'm, some of the influencers are like 21 that I'm following, but a lot of them are like 17. They do dances and they just do them over and over again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm a little worried because I feel like this is me, the way my OCD manifests in a lot of ways is like really the urge to know every little bit of information about certain things. Mm-hmm. And I can feel that happening with this. And sometimes it's a really positive experience and other times it's not. And I can't ascertain right now if TikTok is like, if this is kind of self-care, like I'm just like, I'm enjoying the feeling of like lying there and watching 50 videos of people dancing, or if it's not actually a productive use of my time. And also right now, maybe I shouldn't even care.
Yeah. I mean, My only thought uh-huh, mm-hmm, is uh-huh. that right now you're sort of a passive observer, right? Like you're taking it all in, you're getting to know these people, but you're not participating. And I do wonder if you kind of flip the switch to becoming a participant, if that is going to possibly exacerbate some of your tendencies to anxiety, because then it's about like how many people have watched my video, how many people have liked my video, are people commenting on my video, how do I look in this video? Like I could see it becoming a thing.
Also, the time it takes to learn a dance.
Yes.
For someone like me, look, I appreciate the support I've received as I pursue tap dancing and ballet 101. I am not a dancer. I don't know choreography. Like the thought of having to learn one of these dances,
yeah,
will be an investment of my time.
Right.
But I picked the easiest one to start with, which I think I have down. But like the Renegade, I can't do
that. Super hard.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to take me like a week to learn.
Mm-hmm.
For what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Again, but then what? So here I am. Anyway, adults, do you use TikTok as self-care? Teen listeners, I know you're out there. Am I a weird old lady on TikTok, or
we should have Taylor Lawrence on the show?
Oh, I would love that.
She gets the teens.
She does get the teens. She is literally on the teen beat,
if you will.
If you will. But anyway, it's triggering also my like the way I've used pop culture as self care in a lot of ways. Because this is a new, it's a form of escapism for me.
Yeah.
And it's very soothing, like getting to the bottom of which TikTokers are dating and which TikTokers are not dating, and what is the scandal and where do these brothers come from? So many dancing brothers.
You know, it's a world, it's a universe.
Yes, like learning about like a universe created by a book series.
Yes, totally. And in some ways these people don't totally feel real,
but they are.
But yeah, it's not just like suddenly developing a crush on an actor or something. Like you have this whole world that you can delve into.
Yes. And it's becoming a thing. So I need to just watch that.
I mean, I think it's good that you're aware of this and you're aware of these tendencies in yourself.
Dory, what have you been up to?
I moved 3 weeks ago and like the house is getting there, but it's definitely not done in terms of like stuff being put away and stuff being set up, and like my office is not set up, and part of this is on me and part of this is on Matt working all the time. And when he gets home, he's been like concentrating on getting his, you know, space set up. But the result is that I haven't really had a workable office for the last few weeks, which has kind of turned into starting to be a drag. So I'm trying to get my office area all set up. But it's hard because like, I don't know where everything should go. I don't have like totally the right storage. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, even though our house is bigger and has more closets, like somehow the storage feels different. I don't know.
It is different.
Yeah.
You just have to redo it all.
I have to redo it all.
A ton of work.
Yes. And so, and like the closets are kind of these big empty spaces, and I feel like I need to make them more storage friendly. Like they need like shelves or something.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking about that, but like, I don't know, just all of it is very overwhelming. Before I came to your house today, I did a little bit of organizing. Like I took a bookshelf. It's a small bookshelf that had been just sort of hanging out in our dining area, wrapped in the plastic wrap from the movers for 3 weeks. And I finally took it into the office because that's where it's going to live. I was like, okay, this needs to just like go. And I like moved some plants and like got a couple boxes, like not totally put away, but just sort of like reorganized. And I know I just need to like do it. So that's kind of what's been happening. And I've also just been feeling like I've been overextending myself. Like I've been taking on too many things and I've been committing to too many things, whether it's like socially or work-wise. And I knew this going into last week. Like we had a conversation about it. And then last week, predictably, was very stressful. So trying to just sort of like, I don't know. It's hard. It's really hard. I tend to take on too much. And I tend to not notice until it's too late. And I look at my calendar and I'm like, oh, fuck. Like,
well, oftentimes I'll be like, oh, what's going on? What are you working on? And you're like, well, I have these three pieces due. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
The first, like, you do?
Yeah.
Not that I need to know everything about your life. But like, it's like you just are doing a lot of stuff that is even like, you're not even mentioning.
Yeah.
Again, I sound like I need to know everything about your life.
I mean, you basically do.
I do.
Let's be honest.
You do get to see some of your Google calendar. It's very
you
exciting.
Do. Yeah. It's quite a thrill.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. So yeah. But wait.
Yes.
You are listening to a lot of audiobooks. So, I want to talk about that.
So into audiobooks.
Enough about my overextensions.
I finished. I'm trying to read more, period,
this
year. And also broaden the topics that I'm reading and learning about. So I finished The Great Believers, my first book of 2020.
Isn't it great?
Yes, it's fantastic.
Did you cry?
I was a mess.
I sobbed.
And I would reread it again in a heartbeat / I'm dying for the movie. And then I listened to Jessica Simpson's autobiography, Open Book, on Audible.
I put it on hold at the library after you recommended it.
Did you put the
audiobook? Yes, I put the audiobook on hold.
Listening to a person read their autobiography, like I did this with Michelle Obama's book, I just find it really satisfying. So that was a pleasure. And it gave me some good boundaries in terms of like, you know, not... I just listened to that while I did stuff, and I was so excited to listen to it that I'd be like, time to do the dishes and put on my Jessica Simpson book. And I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
That's really cool.
I mean, I love pop culture, and I used to cover her for work. So I felt like,
yes,
you know, there was a lot of stuff that I used to have to write about that was then in there. But I finished it, and then I was like, well, I really enjoyed this. What's another book that I've wanted to read and I haven't been able to make the time to read? And that was Ronan Farrow's Catch and Kill.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm deep and I've blasted through it.
It's such, I read that in print.
I remember.
And I am now listening to the Catch and Kill podcast.
Which I am going to tune into.
Which I highly recommend. I think If you haven't read the book, the podcast is great. If you have read the book, I think the podcast is even better because it acts as this sort of like complement to the book.
Cannot wait.
You kind of see all of these things that he talks about in the book, like really come to life. Like he got so many amazing interviews and it's really, I mean, it's very intense, but it's really good.
I really recommend it. I mean, on a high note, he does voices for all the people, which is so bizarre.
We should tell people what it's about if they haven't heard of it. So basically, Ronan Farrow was a reporter at NBC. He essentially got the Weinstein story and wanted to air it on NBC and had done all these on the record interviews, and NBC killed the story for murky reasons. It's heavily implied that in part because the head of NBC News was a screenwriter, which is like bizarre that the head of NBC News would be a screenwriter.
Totally weird.
That his relationship with Harvey Weinstein influenced his decision to kill the story. That is very strongly implied. And so Ronan Farrow ended up taking the story to The New Yorker. And they ran it, and it was, you know, predictably very explosive. And I don't know that NBC is like necessarily recovered from that. Like it was a huge black eye on their faces, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the book is really, really good, and the podcast is great too. Oh, another thing that is happening with me is that I'm going to Disneyland this weekend with Henry. And Matt and my husband.
And
my sister and her family.
Former guest Karen Vladek.
Former Esquire. Forever 35 guest Karen Vladek Esquire.
Dory's sister.
And her family. We're all going to Disneyland.
Which,
they are going for 3 nights.
They do not live in California.
They do not live in California. They are coming in to go to Disneyland. They're not even coming to LA. They're going straight to Anaheim.
And we, being SoCal residents, have the privilege of just driving to Disneyland.
Yes, although we are going to stay overnight on Saturday.
Wow, doing it.
We're doing it.
Are you going to be able to like relax and enjoy yourself?
Doubtful.
Okay.
I mean, let's be honest.
Look, you know yourself.
I'm going with a 10-month-old.
That's true.
Who still naps twice a day. Like, it's going to be tough.
That is true.
But I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually looking forward to like taking Henry to Disneyland. All right, let's take a break.
Okay.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Our guest today is Naomi Ekparagon. Naomi, welcome to the pod.
Hello. We're doing it. We're
doing it. Before we do it, I'm going to read a bio.
Okay.
That's what happens before people do it. If they read a bio of the person they're with.
You should.
I don't know. Why am I making a very high school sex joke?
That's just who you are.
It is who I am. Yep. TikTok star Kate Spencer. Okay. Naomi Ekparagon is a comedian, actor, and writer known for her work on Broad City, NBC's Great News, and HBO's Mrs. Fletcher. I loved that first season. Mm. Naomi has performed stand-up on Late Night with Seth Meyers, as well as on Two Dope Queens on their special for HBO, and she has a half-hour special on Comedy Central. And if that were not cool enough, Naomi co-hosts the popular live show and podcast Couples Therapy, which is a show where stand-up comics do sets about their relationships.
Uh-huh.
And you co-host it with your real-life partner.
Yes, my betrothed, Andy Beckerman.
Yeah, which we will get into. We're so glad you're here. I want to ask you, because when I emailed you about doing Forever 35, and I was like, we talk about self-care and wellness, and you were very nice. You were like, I'll totally do it, but I don't know if I have enough of a self-care. And you didn't say these exact words, you were like, I have one lotion,
yep,
and I'm intrigued by juice cleanses.
Yes, exactly.
So I would love to, well, one, I want to know what lotion, and also what about juice cleanses intrigues you. But what is self-care for you? Is it something that you feel like you have? And you also talk about it in your stand-up.
Well, this is something I find very difficult. Because also when you say, like, wellness is y'all two white women in mm-hmm. Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So I feel like when you come through with self-care, y'all coming through with a whole personality,
crystals,
vibe, crystal, hiking, like it's a full on.
Chunky, mm-hmm. chunky sweater.
A chunky sweater on a 70 degree day.
That's what I'm wearing.
That's why I'm always like, I was like, I have nothing that mm-hmm. compares to sort of, because I think what I lack is diligence and willpower. And so when it comes to self-care stuff, I always feel like there's certain things I do that soothe me, mm-hmm. but I don't necessarily know if it's the best for me. And that's why I wonder, yeah. right? And sometimes the line between how long can I do this, or how long can I lean into this or allow myself to do this before it's really not actually helpful in any way, you know?
Yeah.
Because like a lot of my self-care stuff, a lot of it centers on food, but it's usually good food, meaning not healthy food. I use food as a reward and as comfort. That's its own issue. We can talk about it with my clothing and that I can no longer fit. And then also, you know, I watch a lot of like procedurals and true crime shows because they always have a format. And you kind of just are following the trail. And sometimes you can get into an episode where the killer either kills himself at the end or doesn't get caught. That's upsetting. That's upsetting. I think people need to say up top, like, if a case is closed or not, you know, at the top of the episode.
Are these, this is like a procedural, so it's not a true crime show.
Like Law and Order.
Law and Order.
Both.
Okay.
Both,
or like both, Forensic both. Files.
A Forensic Files, you know, lately I'm watching Lieutenant Joe Kenda, Homicide Hunter, and that's really just tickling me pink. Because he's like a retired detective who's going over his old cases. And obviously The show is more recent, so he's doing cases from like the 80s or something, you know. And so a lot of reenactments, some of them cheesy as hell. But then you cut to him, you know, doing like a straight to camera thing where he's like, do I like this? Yes, I do. An angry boyfriend is always a good place to start.
Oh my God.
And that's what he'll say. And it's like, literally, like, so fucking funny. But also, you're watching every case is something he solved. You know what I mean? Like, Lieutenant Joe Kenda is not going to give you a case where he, like, fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, like, calming and soothing to be like, Joe Kenda's on the case.
That actually, I there's a few shows that I watch in a soothing manner. And I feel like there's something about the completion of these true crime shows.
Yes. This is why I like mysteries. This is why I like cozy mysteries.
What's a cozy mystery?
It's like, often takes place in like a small village.
Mm-hmm. Nobody gets hurt?
No, people get hurt.
Okay.
Murders happen.
Yeah.
But there's often like, there's like eccentric village characters. You get a lot of tea.
Okay. Like, do you watch these shows? Is this like, what is the one with the,
The Midsummer Murders?
Midsummer Murders. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
When you did the bicycle, yes, I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What?
Yes, exactly. That's a cozy mystery.
Yes.
And you know that at the end of every show, you're going to know who the killer was.
Have you seen Death in Paradise?
That's yes, I have. And I love it.
It's about a locale. It's about a locale, Kate. You need it's a beautiful
fake,
backdrop.
It's a fake Caribbean island.
Yes.
Just first of all.
It is like you are. I have no idea what world you are talking about. Okay, so it's set.
These are both British shows.
Okay.
First of all.
So those are the ones that are cozy.
Yes.
Particularly cozy.
Yes. Yes.
And are these
Midsummer more cozy than Death in Paradise?
He's a priest who literally rides a bicycle through this English village in what, the 50s? And then like somehow again, he's a priest and yet he solves all the crimes. And for a place that tiny.
There's a lot of crimes.
So many crimes.
That's always the hallmark of a cozy mystery. You're like, literally 500 people live in this village. How have 17 people been murdered in the last 6 months? And how is the priest solving all the cases?
The priest is the one who solves it?
Ultimately.
He's the detective.
Yeah.
He's the Miss Marple.
Who's that?
Okay.
Hey, what are you doing? Like, what are you literally doing every day? I don't understand how you spend your time.
Excuse me.
I mean, honestly, right now it's reading Bachelor spoilers and watching Schitt's Creek.
Okay, Bachelor.
Yeah. I mean, that's like not a choice I'm feeling good about at the moment.
Miss Marple, for the record, was one of Agatha Christie's two main detectives, the other being Hercule Poirot.
And so you knew this. You also read Agatha Christie?
I did. It's funny. I read her when I was younger. When I was like into that, but I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it's not like, I don't know who Miss Marple is.
But this has been like,
I'm out in the world, Kate.
No, not me. Not me. I literally, I like to write books. Don't know iconic characters written by Agatha Christie. But that's interesting to me that for both of you, actually, that's been like a soothing thing in your lives since childhood.
Yeah.
Or since one starts first reading adult mysteries, middle school, whenever that is.
Yeah. But I feel like the cozy ones you're talking about, Dory, like they're not gruesome.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The problem is like, some of this stuff is gruesome. And like, I was legit watching something yesterday where I was like, I think I really got to stop. This is fucking me up. Because it's just like, to hear about it, it also makes me, I feel like I come away also from most episodes being like, all men need therapy.
Yes.
Half of these episodes, half of Lieutenant Joe is some man who couldn't manage his goddamn anger.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to learn to use your words and not your guns.
Yep.
And I think like, having that where I'm like, it's fucking up the way I go into the world. You know, I'm all like, none of you can be trusted.
Kate, here's a parallel for a world that you're familiar with. You know how romances, they'll be like, it has a happily ever after.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you know that there's like that satisfying resolution and you know it ahead of time.
Yes.
It's the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. I get that. Well, romance is my, that soothes me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My romance is the pursuit of justice.
See, that makes sense. Pursuit of justice. Look, I'm happy for both of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You have this in your life. But it does start to take a little bit of like a, not a turn, but it is. Well, what are your thoughts about the way true crime has been popularized in our current
culture? I hate it. I feel like, you know what I feel like? I feel like that annoying kid in high school who knows a cool band and then everyone else gets into it, you know? And you're like, you don't know their B-sides, you know?
Yes,
like, that's how I am with my true crime. Because I was like, I have been watching these programs with no one to talk to for years. By myself watching Oxygen. Own Investigation Discovery, you know, 2020, when that's all you had.
How about the first 48?
The first 48. I didn't get into that for a while. It's a little too slow for me.
Mm.
Like, you know.
Because it's all 48.
But it is good. You look, I'll take it if it's on, you know.
Sure. I feel like I've watched it on planes a lot.
Yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, there's nothing I love more than a JetBlue flight.
With some true crime.
With some ID. Now that's a time. I'll be like, stop with the announcements. You're interrupting. But yeah.
Did you read a lot of true crime, or watching it has been kind of your...
It was always like watching it. I was always, you know, I was an only child, and my things were reading, writing, and watching TV. And so because I was into reading and writing, my mom would let me watch the TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was like allowed. And as I got, you know, and I was never a cool kid. So, you know, on a Friday night, I'm in the house watching the programs.
2020 with Barbara Walters.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I like a true crime.
Yeah, so that was how it started for me.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that and just feeling like, oh my God, the underbelly of humanity. Mm-hmm. You know, like that was part of it as a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't believe this.
Does Andy, your fiancé, like, does he get, do you get each other's self-care practices or soothing things? No.
He does not partake in mine. I understand his. They're pretty straightforward. You know, he exercises and makes sure to eat a vegetable with every meal. Pretty straightforward. But I'm watching true crime. He's always like, oh God. Like, literally one time he was in the other room, you know, but it was on and there was something and he's like, and I just hear him go, Jesus. And I'm like, what? And he's like, how do you just listen to like screams and gunshots? This is why you don't sleep. And I was like, oh God, it's fine.
You did say you have one lotion that you like. We talk about lotions on this show a lot.
Yeah.
Do lotions provide you any sort of sense of like calm or self-care?
Well, you know, as a black person, I can't be ashy in these streets.
Yes.
You know, lotion is a requirement. You just taught about lotion from like the day you're born. So I just require my lotions. You know what I mean? It's just like being like, my mom would literally roast me, and by roast me, shame me to death. Like if we went outside, because you know the big thing, you know how this happens where like you're getting ready and then you go out in the sunlight and you see stuff?
Yeah.
Meaning I would often, nowadays, I see cat hair. But like when I was little, I would like go outside and she'd be like, look at your damn feet. You are not taking you out of ashes. Go back in the house and put some lotion on them feet. And so that was very much part of the dynamic. And I think now as an adult, I rebel by having ashy feet. But all about lotion. But see, my lotions, for this, I don't like a lotion that smells too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sometimes do it with a hand lotion because I like to steal the lotions from the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I'm here for a Cetaphil. Cetaphil, light, but do you know the moisture that provides to her?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the moisture?
I do, I'm familiar.
I'm trying to crack Dory because she like doesn't make faces.
It's a girl.
So I'm just trying to be like, Dory, are you on board?
I am on board.
She's trying to solve this like a mystery.
She's a cool customer.
Cetaphil is like an iconic. When my mom, like my first face wash was Cetaphil.
Ooh,
I feel like when my first body, like whenever I don't like, there's something comforting about Cetaphil. There's no smell.
Yes.
You feel like it's like there. It doesn't need attention. Yeah. It's not pretentious.
Yeah.
It's just there to do its job.
Have you ever like the regular lotion? Wonderful. But do you know the cream? That Cetaphil cream.
Like the kind that comes in the jar where you take the top off.
Oh, yeah.
I need a dab.
It's very thick.
So hearty.
Mm-hmm.
So hearty. It is so good. Also, Cetaphil's not cheap. You know, when you compare it to like the Jergens or another more like
that's
other drugstore brands.
True.
Yes.
And so Cetaphil, I like to, you know, the one thing, I don't have a Costco membership, but I'm out of Cetaphil right now. And I was like, how do I get Cetaphil
if
not in a two-pack at Costco?
Me, I will get it for you.
Thank you so much.
I am at Costco.
Because literally you can get two for $9.99. Are you kidding me?
No, it's so, everything at Costco makes sense.
Naomi, I want to talk about stand-up.
Okay. Let's do it, Dory.
Well, it terrifies me as a person thinking about myself doing it. And I want to know, Is this something that, like, from a young age, you were like, that's what I want to do? Or how did you develop this desire to do stand-up?
Yeah, definitely wasn't. I'm always quick to point out, I was never a comedy nerd, you mm-hmm. know, as people suddenly became like 10 years ago, you know, or like a comedy aficionado. I always wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be an actor from an early age.
And you were. You are. I mean, you are.
Ish, but a little bit. But like, I was even scared as a kid. Like, I was a very shy kid, but I still wanted to do it. But I also didn't know how it could be done. You know, the TV felt very far away. And just like, I'm like, I don't get how a person gets in there, you know. I was obsessed with Nickelodeon shows. I would like submit for any like contest or walk on or, you know, all that kind of stuff. I was like, that's all I ever wanted. And I think the intro was college, you know, when you're reinventing yourself.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, sure. Okay, I'm going to like try to audition for the improv group. You know, even, again, I'd never done improv. I did not have a sense, but I was like, oh, it's comedy and you make it up and people seem to laugh when I talk. And so freshman year, I auditioned and I got a call back, but I didn't get in. And it was like the first, but I had so much fun in the audition. And I remember them laughing and, you know, you would do these two person scenes and then you leave the room. And I like left the room and heard them like still laughing at like what I said and like repeating it. And I was like, ooh, maybe I'm good at this.
Yeah.
And then that summer I took an improv class back in New York. And then the next year I started doing it. So that was kind of my first taste. So I did a little bit in college, like bits and pieces. And then when I graduated, I did have an acting job, my first job out. But then after that, I was like, okay, I'm in New York already. So now let's just like try it and go to bars. And, you know, I didn't even do a lot of open mics. I would do these little bar shows, but because I was from New York, friends would actually come. Mm. You know, like when you're 22, you're just like, you'll do anything at 22. Your friend's like, I'm performing in the back of a bar that's near no trains. And you're like, let's go. And so I think that got also gave me the confidence, right?
Yes.
Like we're pretty much talking to my friends and so many of my early jokes would be like dating stuff, dating horror stories or, you know, whatever. And it was like, oh, okay. I think people like this. And then I was like, okay, I guess let's just keep doing it. I don't know. It didn't feel like a job at first.
Mm-hmm.
It started feeling like a job. I was saying like, 2016, meaning I had to do it whether I felt like it or not, and I had to be creating new material.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when, you know, job not as defined as being paid as much as having to generate regardless of what you feel in your heart and soul. Because I would just have a day job and then just go do a show at night.
Yeah.
And it was fun and it felt like, oh, great, especially because I'm at this day job I don't really want to be at now. I can kind of do my own thing, but I still didn't understand how anyone made money as a comedian.
And was your first job writing for TV on Broad City?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was 2013. Well, I was a writer's assistant season one, so that was 2013. So 2014 was the first time.
And since then, you have written for many TV shows.
I got a few programs under my belt.
Yeah. And now you're performing stand-up. You're traveling a ton. Am I right?
I was a little bit. And that's just been a product of moving to LA.
Yeah.
I found it because I can't really perform as much here. I have to go on the road to do it. In New York, there was no need to leave home because you could just get up every night. Of course, there is always the desire to go because sometimes I'm like, okay, will people find me funny in Peoria? Right? So you think, oh, I should go. But I didn't need it. Whereas here, like I physically need to leave this place in order to...
Because there just aren't as many venues.
Yeah, not as many venues, not as many like good shows. And you certainly don't get the opportunity to do like a long set very much. And so there's a really big difference, you know, between doing 10 minutes a pop to then suddenly trying to hold it down for 45 minutes to an hour. And so you really need some opportunity. Like if I'm going to go from there to there, the closest I can get is like performing a bunch. Like right now I'm preparing for a taping, a set.
Cool.
And I'm going to New York. It's only 5 days. I had to kind of truncate it because of everything else. I really wanted to do like a full like 10 days, 2 weeks. But the plan is to do two spots a night, 4 or 5 nights.
Wow.
And 10 shit. Like that set's not in order after that, we got a problem.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? But that's the only way I can do it. And I have a few shows here this week and I'm going to use that to be like, okay, what are the words?
That's
never find it.
I'm revising a book right now and I'm on like the fourth or fifth revision, but I get to revise in private. Like you have to revise. You have to go out in public to revise and perfect your work. Like that's such a challenging part of your job.
I know it sucks.
Like that's fucking hard. When you can't like as a stand up, do you ever workshop it alone in a space or do you need that relationship to the audience to validate your instinct and help you know the way things are working or need to be working.
It's funny. I will say this. For me, often I will use, I don't necessarily need an audience. I will use social interaction. And I think I don't get as much of that here.
Yeah.
Because I just talk to friends. Comedians are no, really not comedians. Like, so one of my best friends who's an adjunct professor of sociology, like, she's my girl who, if I can get a laugh out of her, I know I might have a nugget of something that's worth saying on a stage later. A lot of stuff for me is conversational, especially because that's the style of my stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually what starts. Like, I'll have a conversation, be like, oh, I got to laugh. And then maybe I'll like try to say it again to a different person in a different setting. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like two totally opposite people. I'm like, okay, two strangers laughed. Okay, maybe this is something. Then I might write it down. Then I would take it on stage. Oh, it's usually what happens. But now, because I like only have two friends, I now have to work through on stage. Like, I did a show Monday night, and it was one of those where I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to have to be on a journey, and you're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
To the audience.
What's it like after a stand-up show, whether it's in your mind a success or not, how do you come down from that? Because I feel like energetically performing, similarly to being on a podcast, like you're giving so much energy. Like, what is your like routine or ritual for afterwards?
I know, sister, this is the struggle, especially as I've been traveling more, where I go and what I do. Cause especially especially when I'm away from home.
Yeah.
And so, I did a couple of dates opening for Jonathan Van Ness, and like, that was playing to like 2,000, 3,000 people.
Oh my God.
And there were two shows a night.
Oh my
so
God.
We were done at maybe 11:30.
How long was your set?
Only 12 minutes. So it was like easy, but it's like, especially because there were two, right? So I would do that 12.
Yeah.
But it was still just like electric and like, you know, you're on a big stage. It's like, how do I like get these people on board? Cause they don't know who I am.
And they're, and you're opening, right?
A little. Okay, it was like, it kind of worked out. It was like kind of the dream gig in that it's not a cold. I'm not open cold.
Okay.
He comes out and he does a gymnastics routine that is flawless.
Oh my God.
So they're already happy. And then while he's changing and, you know, kind of they're turning over the gymnastics stuff, I perform.
That's great. Yes.
Okay.
So they're warm.
Yes. They've already seen who they paid for.
Right.
And of
right.
course he does such a warm introduction and he's like, you're going to love her. You know, and then they're like, great. So we could, so it's already warm, but it's like just performing for that many people. Is such a rush, and then also just the nerves going into it, making sure, you know, wanting them to like you.
Yeah.
And then when you do have two shows, you know, if it was just the one, I would definitely just go sit down and be done. But because I know I have to keep my energy up, I can't let myself lay down.
Jonathan Van Ness cut your hair.
Yes, that happened.
And you, I wrote down your tweaks that made me laugh. You said, I just opened for JVN in Las Vegas and he cut my hair after the show. He is the only white man I trust to handle my scandal.
Yes.
How was I getting a haircut from like America's favorite current hairstylist?
Well, I know. Well, it was funny because I definitely was like touched by an angel is how I felt. But it was just so funny the way it happened. You know, he has so much energy and he's a talker, and it's, we're all just sitting at a bench at this festival in Vegas where, you know, it's hot as hell. So we're like under the tent and we're like, we're just going to stay here until it's time. We can't move.
Oh God.
And so we're just like talking, and he's not even talking to me per se. Like, we're just all at the table. I'm next to him. He's just talking. And then just literally in the middle of a sentence, he just turns and he's like, can I touch your hair? And I was like, whatever you want, you know? And then he like kind of takes it. He's like, you're very healthy. He's like, this is a good relaxer. Da-da. And then he's like, hold on. And then he like takes my hair and like folds it up. And he's like, okay, I'm like in the mood to give you like a blunt, like a Kardashian, like an angled kind of lob situation. And I was like, okay, I'm on board. And literally went into his dressing room. He had 15 minutes till his next show.
Holy shit.
And we go in there and he's like, where's my cape? Where are my scissors? And he like,
which he brings on the road with him.
Well, of course he's handling stuff. And so he like gets his stuff out and he like, and it was short, you know, again, like there was no wash. It was like a dry cut. And he was like, okay, let me like, okay, what are we doing? Okay. Step. And it was just amazing how, just that quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Someone can just literally take a couple snips and just like, because the thing of my hair is it feels very like meh. I just want a shape to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to do much to it every day. But if you get a good cut, right, you're like already styled without doing anything. And so that was like a great 2 months after he did that. But then I saw him in November when I opened those three shows. And when I was leaving, like my last night, and he's like, your hair looks good. And I go, it's from when you cut it. And he was like, and then... And he was like, okay, well, are you going to be in New York around Christmas? He's like, text me and we'll figure out, you know, if I can do it again. And you know, I like was so scared to do it, but I legit was like, okay, Jonathan, if you happen to have some time and are available, can I please come over? And then I went over there.
He
day
did?
After Christmas. As
oh
it should be.
God. Oh my gosh.
And then he gave me another little trimmy trim.
Your hair looks great.
Your hair does look great. Much.
So that's how Jonathan Van Ness became your hairdresser.
I know. Can you imagine?
I mean, no. I saw the pictures of it and I was just like, holy. Yes. Like, yes. But also you kind of, you kind of feel like you can't say no when someone right. like that is like, I just want to do this. You're like, this is my hair now.
Absolutely. But also like, that's exactly what I want. Like, yeah. I was literally like, is Tan France somewhere? Will he put me in clothes? Like, I was like, I watch every episode of Queer Eye and I'm like, can this happen for me?
Everybody's coming out.
Yeah. Yes. Where's Bobby?
Bobby's.
Yes. Bobby's like, I'll build you a house. Yeah. 72 hours. I would love that. Like, I'm and it's funny.
Yes.
I'm shooting this thing in Austin. And I think that's where they're doing new Queer Eye. And I was like, okay, if there's a way I can get to Austin,
I mean,
and get Tan France to buy me a goddamn shirt. All I want. Like, he does that web series where he like has comedians, he like dresses comedians and stuff.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, you know, obviously big famous ones. He did Ali Wong and Pete Davidson, like all these people, and he like dresses them. Like, clothes are my final frontier.
I feel like we could make this happen for you.
Also, you're saying that I love your jacket, like your whole outfit.
Yeah, you look
like the
so
only
cute.
Fucking thing I have. That's the problem. Like, I have a few outfits and they go over and over. But as I do more things, like, again, even the podcast, they take your picture. So it's like, as you wear like stuff, you do stuff more and more, I can't wear the same fucking thing every time.
So how have you styled yourself for your stand-up shows? Because you've been on taped TV stand-up specials.
Will?
You had a really cool pair of pants on in one of them.
In Seth Meyers, I wore a jumpsuit. On Two Dope Queens, I wore a jumpsuit.
See this? Here we
then
go.
I discovered could barely fit me. Like, it was like, yes, in your closet. Like, oh, I'll wear that. And then I got home and was like, girl, you can't fit that no more. And so it was very tricky. I was like cinched in because it was all I had because that's what I thought I was going to wear. What else? Suit up Queen's jumpsuit. Half hour, there was a jacket and a jean.
Yeah.
A jacket and a jean. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like there's also this desire, because I do want to be acting more. Mm. I have to like look cute, right? Like, it's, you know, in the world of stand-up, it's like, at least for me, it's about being comfortable. Don't wear anything where a titty will pop out. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm doing other things. I can't
yeah.
worry
well,
about
you're
that.
Moving your body. Yes. Yeah.
You can't. But, you know, if I want to be on camera, as Jenna Maroney would say, I feel like then I got to kind of elevate it, you know, and I'm a little older now. So it's like, come on, dress like a grown woman.
Switching gears a little bit.
You must.
You co-host a podcast with your fiance, Andy, who is a wonderful man.
Thank you so much.
And I would love your, like, what has kind of been your learning experience from working with a partner, but also hearing and answering people's questions about relationships? Like, is there a recurring question or conundrum that comes up? Because we get a lot of relationship questions from our mm-hmm. listeners too. Like, it feels that's, and not just romantic relationships, but also friendships, especially as mm-hmm. adults. Mm-hmm. Feels like there is a constant, I don't know, they're constantly challenging.
Yeah. I don't know if we had any through line yet, but I will say it is very, it's interesting. Younger people are always struggling with, how do I know if this relationship is real or what should I do about this relationship?
Yeah.
And then a lot of older people, meaning by older, I just mean like, you know, late 20s and on, almost all their issues are like, what do I do when I don't like my friend's partner? Like, we get that a bunch.
Yes. You get that too.
So interesting. Like, that is such a, that's happening all around us. And that's surprising. But also working on a pod in general with your partner, you know, I don't recommend it. It's fine. No, it's good. It's interesting. Just, you know what it is? And I think working with anybody, this is the tricky thing. When you have different, you have to hold the project. It has to be as important to both of you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the kind of thing that, like, and you also have to have the same work ethic. Mm-hmm. And those are two things you kind of don't know until you're already in it. You know what I mean? You gotta know if it matters, you know, how it matters to the other person beforehand, but you don't kind of know how they work until you start working. And I will say, I'm saying that as the lazy one of the two of us. I'm not saying that. Like, the thing is, like, he does so much of it. And it's sort of like, it sometimes feels a little uneven, but then I'm also like, I don't feel like it. And so, but then I feel guilty. And then also, you know, because I was like traveling and doing other things, you know, sometimes it can be like an afterthought for me.
Yeah.
Mm. Not the actual doing of it as much as, you know, you have to constantly book, especially with us having a live show element. We're booking the monthly live show and we're getting guests in the studio.
And your live show is, it's like, it's a ton of people every night. It's a lot of booking.
So it's usually eight because it's four duos. So you're trying to get, you know, get people. And then, of course, you have one person cancels and that whole duo is out. And mm-hmm. then is that person mm-hmm. scrambled? Do you scramble? Et cetera. So it can be so much of that that I'll be like, oh, right. We have a show coming up. Do we have a lineup?
Yeah.
And he's just like, get out of here. He's not upset about it, but I do worry about it creating resentment. That's what I mean. That's what I was saying. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I should do it because I'm like, I don't know anyone should do it because unless you are going to kind of put in the 50-50 work and be on the same page, it has the potential to breed resentment in a love affair. You know, you can resent your coworker or like your friend.
Right. You don't have to like sleep in the same bed with them at night. Yeah.
You can like just not talk to, like if you and your friend have, you know, work on something and it sucks, maybe don't talk for a couple months and then you come back again.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Whereas this is like, well, Good night.
Who's going to walk that dog? Yeah. Here's something you tweeted that recently, and oh God, I was
going
like,
into the archives.
Go. Well, this is a recent one. You wrote, so Andy Beckerman, who's your fiance, says, I'm weird for assuming an invite to one person in a couple doesn't automatically include their partner, which I thought was such a good question, like a great question about society today. And then you made me laugh really hard. You said, I'm friends with plenty of people whose partner I barely know, and I'm not someone who needs to be with my man all the time. Am I soulless? And I think you're right.
I am just like very serious about this. It really has me livid. I don't know. I just, and again, you're talking to someone who also works with their partner.
Yeah.
But I think, and maybe also I was an only child. My mother was a single mother. It has always been vital to me that I be able to stand on my own two feet. We don't even have a joint account and bank account.
Yeah.
Like, you take care of those bills, I'll take care of these bills. Like, we tried doing a joint account for a while, but then could never, like, equally keep money in it because of the nature of our work. We were, like, never employed at the same time. So it was just, like, take care. Like, I want my separate friends. Because I also would have this thing early in the relationship. At this point, we've been together. Next month will be 10 years. So I know it's a long time. But early on, like, I always wanted to have my friends because I didn't want to be that girl who gets lost in her boyfriend. And then when that relationship ends, she ain't got nobody around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of like that. I was like, if you go away, I need to have my community and my safety net. So I always wanted to have my friends away from him. I need to be able to talk about him, you know, just have people. And so when other couples aren't like that, I really balk at that. And then also, I just know so many people where I don't really know their partner. You know, where it's like,
yeah,
that person's fine. Like, maybe they had the, like, it's like, but I don't know them well enough. And now I'm in a situation, where like I'm paying for people.
No.
I want your random ass man here who don't say nothing or is weird or boring.
Mm-hmm. Or all of the above.
The times where I'm like, oh, I want Andy there are times where I don't know anybody and I want a person to
talk
to.
Which is like a wedding.
That's it, right? Yeah. Like, unless I don't, if I know people at the wedding and then it's more like, you know, Andy's definitely come to a wedding that was more of a college reunion and he's going to say, and then he's like, all right, are you guys having fun?
those are the words.
Yeah. But then there are other weddings where it's like, we've literally just talked to each other at the table.
Yeah.
It's like, without you here, I would be
exactly. Yeah.
So I think it depends, but I agree. It's like, I don't know. Cause my email did not say significant others welcome. It was like, we're doing a dinner celebration. I have reserved the patio. Now, I didn't go in deep and say, like, this is a seated event. We have max 22 people.
Mm.
I didn't say that. Because what I also thought would happen was that the people would then ask if they could bring the partner.
So, yeah.
Then I could do the whole explanation of, like, hey, I only had this many seats.
This is about a specific experience that happened to you. this wasn't just, like, a hypothetical.
No.
You rented specific. A patio. Yeah. You invited friends, and then people brought partners.
It hasn't happened yet, but certain people saying, we are coming. And I said, we were not invited. But I can't do that. So now here. But it's funny because Andy factored in the partner already with certain couples. And I was like, why? And that's what made me tweet it.
This is
me and
tough.
I were sitting at home and I was like, why would you do that? And he's like, Naomi, you're the weird one. He's like, people, like, most times you invite somebody to something, you're bringing their partner. But I agree. A party, like a backyard moment, a come as you are.
Yeah.
But when there is seating involved, everybody must be counted. I draw like a lot of like lines in the sand in podcasts because I know it's recorded. in that way, that's like my passive aggressive way of dealing with the issue directly, you know? So that way someone can be like, okay, I know never to just bring my partner over to Naomi's house.
But I actually think it's a really interesting question too, especially because money, like there's your finances involved. Like it's, if it's something you're hosting too, I don't know. I just thought that was such an interesting tweet. Now that I know it's about a real situation, I am.
But in general, I am that kind of person. And even Andy has had to adjust to that because I think his parents have been together 50 years. They do everything together. Like, wow. Their whole social scene is each other.
Yeah.
They'll be apart for work, but every social thing is like they've got their couple friends and they do the thing. And I think that's what he grew up seeing. And he was just like, used to that. And so, I'm so much more like, no, go do your thing. Or there'll be times he'll be like, a friend of his is in town. He's like, you want to get dinner with us? And I go, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like, that's your friend. Like, y'all gonna talk about some shit from 1997.
Right.
Then you need to be able to do that without, like, me there. I also hate scenarios where I'm just, like, there as the woman or the partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you're, like... You're getting it, like, the conversation happens and then you have to get explained.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His story. Okay. Continue.
Well, but also I think this, to me, that is such an active self-care choice to not put your, because it's your time. Anyone's time is precious and valuable. You're on the road. You're working a lot. Like, you don't, sitting at a dinner that you don't want to be at, like, that's not fun.
Yeah.
That is not your,
no.
Like, and those are really good boundaries to set that I think a lot of people have a hard time setting those boundaries.
I don't know how you can't. Don't you find being around other humans to be painful sometimes?
Yes.
Are either of you depressed? I don't know.
Anxious more, but okay. Yes. Yes.
But I just, to me, like that power down and that private time is so crucial to survival for me.
Are you introverted?
I don't, someone called me an introverted extrovert, which I'm like, I don't really get it. I don't know if they made it up, but I kind of think I am. I kind of think I am. I think ultimately, because people kind of stress me out, I will always choose to be by myself.
Yeah.
And then it's usually like someone else has to kind of, especially now that I have a partner, I think so much of my going out and about in your 20s is about finding someone.
Yeah.
And then once that was kind of done, I was like, do I have to go to a party now?
No, it's like, yeah, you're done with that part of life.
Yeah, I was like, what's the point of a party? Yeah. I was like, I can't hear anybody. You know, like, oh God, I hate when it's loud. I just hate when things are loud.
I hate when things are loud too.
Yelling in both of your ears right now. They're wearing headphones, and I'm just yelling into the microphone, listener.
I hate when things are loud.
I also don't like when things are loud. When you have to go to a social situation and no one can hear.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking of the parties I've been dragged to.
I was at a party like a week or so ago where I was excited to be there, but it was so loud in the party that it was like, what am I even, what's the point of
what's
this?
What's the point?
Right?
Yeah, so exactly. You can't have a conversation.
And so much, especially here in LA, where so much of that stuff is ultimately about networking. The fact that you would make it so that people can't actually network or connect is baffling to me.
Yeah.
It was the kind of music, you know, when the music is so loud, like the bass, you like feel it in your bones.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, they about to give me a damn arrhythmia. Living. You're just living.
You're shouting and you can't totally hear. So then you just nod and you lose your voice. Like, what was the point of any of that?
What was the point when there are programs at home and a bed and animals?
Well, that feels like a very nice note to end on.
Animals,
programs, programs. And a bed. And that's all you need.
Oh, this is a delight. Yeah. I know you hate podcasts, but
no,
you're really good
me.
At being on them.
Thank you so much. That's when I like talking to
this
people.
Was so fun to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Would anyone like to find out more about you, your touring schedule?
Oh, honey, you're just going to have to follow the internet because I can't keep up with
Where
it.
Where can we find
Come
you?
Come to Twitter. Come to @Blacktress on Twitter, spelled the way you think it's spelled. On Instagram, @BlacktressComedy. Someone else took it. Let's not get into it. Someone else took plain Blacktress, so I had to add comedy to the end on Instagram.
Is that person an active user? Are they on there?
They're active.
Okay.
We get mistagged all the time.
Oh, that's striking.
But just check it out there on couplestherapypod.com, guys. It's fun.
Thank you, Naomi.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life.
every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I love Naomi.
I do too. She's truly one of the funniest freaking people
so funny.
Ever to exist.
She also totally called me out on being like aloof.
Yeah. She had your number from the start.
She really did.
Which I love.
It was so funny. She killed me.
Did you feel seen?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think you're aloof?
I think I can come off as aloof.
I feel like you in social situations have taken a step back and are observing everything.
Yes.
Like your brain.
Like
is,
my son.
Like your son. Your brain is just sitting there. You're processing yes. everything. You see everything that's happening.
Yeah. And I think that's actually what I was doing with her. And she read it as like, you're not reacting to anything I'm saying, which was not my intention, but I could see how it could come off that way.
I love it.
So yes, I felt very seen. Anyway. Moving on.
Moving on to intentions.
Did you do to our voicemails what you did to our inbox?
No. I made zero progress.
I mean, you know my feelings on this.
Yeah, you're kind of like live and let lie. Or yeah. What? I can't. I can't let it. Okay. I'm worried I'm missing voicemails. I want to have everything kind of organized. I just need to just kind of carve out the time. So no. But okay. But you know, I feel like it'll get done.
Great.
This week.
What's going on this week?
Well, first, I just want to note, this is not part of my intention, but did you know Justin Bieber's new song is called Intentions? Oh. It's not about the end of our podcast.
Oh, damn.
But he has a song called Intentions.
Oh, look at that.
Yep. Yep. Hmm. Just wanted to
Everyone's
point that out.
Jumping on the Intentions train. You know,
maybe he's a listener. Okay. Well, look, circling back, inspired by TikTok, I want to learn a dance. And also, I need to practice my tapping.
Okay.
All right. The tapping, I can also practice my ballet. So the class I take, it's 30 minutes ballet, 30 minutes tap. Again, like someone pointed out, like for a toddler. but the tapping, I think I can kind of practice, like mm-hmm. shuffle, ball, change.
Yep. Yep.
So,
yep,
but yep. also I want to learn a basic TikTok dance.
I'm excited. I'm excited for this, for you.
This could all peter out and just not become anything mm-hmm. or... I could just
or
start.
I'm speaking to the next TikTok star.
Can you imagine if I move into TikTok collab house hype house with a bunch of like 18-year-olds?
I mean, I can't.
I'm in bed at 9 o'clock and they're all yeah. making videos in the living room.
Mm. And they're like, Kate, you haven't made enough videos today.
Get out of this house. Yeah. I last for 24 hours. Dory, last week, your intention was to remember to take time for yourself. And then I checked in, I like sent a text to you and I was like, how's it going? And you're like, I'm very stressed. Were you able to do anything that was kind of caring? Keep going with that noise. Not a thing.
Nothing comes to mind per se.
I mean, isn't that what we're doing here? Yes. Like, isn't that we've talked about this so much. It's yes. sometimes
really hard.
Yeah.
I did read. Great. I did read before I went to sleep. Sometimes I was so tired that I could like barely read a page, but I did read before
but you
I went
did
to
it.
Sleep. I did it.
Have you stayed consistent with your journal?
Yes. My one line a day journal. Yes. I haven't been writing so much in my other journal in part because I've been getting into bed so tired that like, I just write in my one line a day and then...
But that's great.
I mean, I put on my yoga toes, obviously.
God darn it with these yoga toes.
Listen, if you had yoga toes on your Forever 35 bingo...
You just won.
You just won. But yeah, it's not been the best few weeks for self-care.
Well, then what is happening for you this week?
This week, I want to get my office in a state where I can actually... like sit down and do work.
Because you have work that needs to be done.
I do have work that needs to be done. And I've been doing it like at the dining room table, which there's like too much going on in the main living space for me to really be able to focus. So I would like to get that.
You got
to
get that
order.
Door cave done.
Exactly. You get it.
Yeah. A door cave.
A door cave. All right. Well,
This brings us to the end of the show.
Friends, we love you.
We do.
And that's why we're going to tell you that Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dori Shafrir and Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio, and Sam Reed is our podcast project manager.
And we will talk to you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.